You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Fair pay agreements have been in the public consciousness for a number of years now. Throughout this, it's been kind of a contentious policy, with unions for fair pay agreements and business groups generally being against, kind of as you'd expect. Following a change in government in 2017, a fair pay agreement working group was established in 2018 to make recommendations on the process, scope, rules, dispute resolution processes, and enforcement of a fair pay agreement. In 2019, consultation took place on different designs, but in 2020, the law change was stalled. However, following the last election, the government now has the numbers to push through such a change and does have them in their policy platform if you look it up, even though they didn't explicitly campaign on it. Newly sworn in Workplace Relations Minister Michael Wood has also said that fair pay agreements are a priority for this Labour government. The Council of Trade Unions recently released their annual work-life balance survey, the findings of which they argue demonstrate the need for structural change in workplace relations, particularly fair pay agreements. I spoke to CTU National Secretary Melissa Ansell-Bridges about fair pay agreements, the opposition against them, and the shifting landscape of labour relations in New Zealand. I started by asking her about the findings from the survey.
So we surveyed 1,200 working people with some questions that we've asked for the last couple of years, so we're able to start seeing some trends with how things are going for people. And what we found from those results is that really not much is changing. We've been asking these questions for a couple of years now, so we're able to start seeing trends. And we're getting pretty similar results to previous years as well. So, for example, over half of respondents felt that their income hadn't kept up with cost of living. That's gone up and down a little bit in the last couple of years, but it's holding pretty steady in terms of people feeling like they're sort of going backwards with their incomes. 52% of people felt that their workload had gotten worse last year. 42.6% of people felt that they had lower job satisfaction last year as well. Over half of people felt that they weren't being paid fairly for the work that they did. Nearly half of people felt that their work-life balance was worse. And significant chunks of people, about a third each, felt that their job security was worse and their hours of work were worse as well. So what we're seeing really with these results now that we've been doing it for a couple of years is that, you know, things might shift up and down a little bit here and there, but the trends are pretty steady. And what that tells us is that we really need bigger structural, you know, sort of more fundamental changes to our employment relations framework. There have been some great improvements that we're really pleased about in the last couple of years under the previous Labour-led government, but the evidence from this survey shows that actually we need some more structural changes to really shift how we do workplace relations in New Zealand. We're still very much stuck in quite a, you know, individualised bargaining system, which we've had since the 1990s. And, you know, these alongside, you know, everything that we know about poverty and inequality in New Zealand, the consequence of those changes.
You pointed out that fair pay agreements could be one of these big structural changes that the government could make. But first, could you explain what fair pay agreements are?
Yeah, so fair pay agreements are basically an industry or a sector-based bargaining structure. So currently, you know, employment relations bargaining in New Zealand happens either on an individual basis, so it's, you know, one person and their employer, or it can happen on a sort of an enterprise or, you know, a workplace-by-workplace basis as a collective with a union. We have multi-employer collective bargaining as well, but that's not particularly common. So if people do experience collective bargaining, generally it's workplace by workplace. What fair pay agreements would do is make that bargaining happen across an entire sector. So, for example, all cleaners in New Zealand or all security guards or everyone that works in supermarkets be able to bargain together for minimum terms and conditions, which would apply to everyone. Now, you could still, you know, bargain above those, but it would set a floor in terms of those terms and conditions. And what that means is that it's harder then for employers, or there's less ability for employers to compete with each other on working people's terms and conditions and pay. So, you know, you would stop undercutting by creating a floor in terms of terms and conditions across an industry.
So what material benefits would accrue for workers under this framework?
Fair pay agreements would, you know, tilt the balance towards working people in terms of that power imbalance that exists. Working people and their employers. The individualised bargaining system that we have currently is absolutely tilted in favour of employers. I'm sure listening will have experienced that feeling of a power imbalance. You know, if something's going wrong at work, or, you know, sometimes even just things like asking for sick leave or asking for a pay rise, most working people are actually really at a disadvantage in terms of those negotiations with their employer. It's not an even playing field. Collective bargaining helps tilt that balance back, and fair pay agreements will do a better job of that across a whole industry. The other really good thing about fair pay agreements is that you then create a framework which enables bargaining on a sector level for things which are particular to that sector. So, for example, sectors where people work a lot of overtime or do shift work, you can have nationwide standards for what terms and conditions around those issues look like. So it will have a lot of material benefit for working people. They firstly will have the opportunity in sectors where, you know, there may not have been the ability previously to, you know, to be a part of a union or to do, be involved in a collective agreement, to actually have a voice, be a part of a collective negotiation for terms and conditions in their workplace and more broadly in the sector that they work in. And you would expect from fair pay agreements as well that you would see better terms and conditions, including pay and other protections for working people as well.
On the opposing side of this argument, discussing this in Parliament, ACT leader David Seymour says that what will improve working conditions is actually creating a more business-friendly environment and, you know, cutting red tape rather than imposing new regulations like the fair pay agreements. Could you respond to this?
A lot of businesses are actually in favour of fair pay agreements. The Fair Pay Agreement Working Group, for example, which developed this policy a couple of years ago, consulted with business and had business involvement, and there were businesses in competitive industries who actually really saw the value of not having to compete with each other on things like wages and conditions. A lot of businesses actually don't want to do that, but the way that the employment relations framework is structured currently is that there's, you know, a competitive advantage to doing that. So actually removing the ability for businesses to be able to do that is a good thing for a lot of people. And the other thing is that, you know, when people are doing better at work, when people's incomes are keeping up with the cost of living and actually earning a decent income for the work that they're doing, they're better able to engage in the economy. You know, people who are on the minimum wage, when they have pay increases, will go and spend that money at local dairies or, you know, buying shoes and clothes for their kids and activities with local businesses. And it's actually a good thing for the economy for people to be in a better financial position. We should be striving to ensure that everyone working in New Zealand is earning enough to not just scrape by and survive, but actually be able to thrive and live the lives that they want to.
While there are employer groups that do support fair pay agreements, there are also some employers' associations that have cast a lot of flak towards fair pay agreements, like the Employers and Manufacturers Association, who have linked central bargaining to economic disruption in the 70s and have also said that New Zealand's minimum wage rises and base employment standards are among the most generous in the world. Do you think that there's truth to these statements?
So there are fundamental differences between fair pay agreements and the structure which we had in the 70s. They're not the same thing, and it's actually a bit misleading to compare the two. So the sort of economic disruption argument, it's not possible under the proposed fair pay agreements to take industrial action whilst bargaining for fair pay agreements. So I'd refute that that's a concern with this policy. And the other thing that I'd say is that New Zealand is actually an outlier within OECD countries in terms of not having a framework like this, which enables that sort of sector-based industry-wide bargaining. We don't have that in New Zealand, and actually that's quite uncommon within OECD countries internationally. So this is a matter of us getting back into step with how things operate elsewhere.
You mentioned earlier in the interview that New Zealand has a sort of individualised employment framework that was introduced in the 90s. This implies that this emerged as more of a like deliberate political choice rather than being like a naturally evolving phenomenon. Does this speak to a sort of malleability in the terrain of employment relations?
Yeah, I mean, employment relations in a way, and it's unfortunate that it does, can become a bit of a political football in New Zealand. You do see a bit of back and forth between governments. So, you know, the Employment Contracts Act, which came in the early 90s, which was brought in by the national government at the time, really, you know, decimated the role of unions. And we saw very direct and immediate consequences for working people as a result of that. Since then, you know, the Employment Relations Act and subsequent changes have sort of brought things back a little bit to the middle from that, you know, sort of quite extreme, more sort of neoliberal-based framework from that time. It sort of things have come back a little bit, and there's been a bit of sort of back and forth with consecutive government, and this is a way really of reframing employment relations in New Zealand in a way which is appropriate for, you know, how our economy works now, but also recognises that, you know, what we did then has actually done a lot of damage to working people and their, you know, their work lives.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.